of 2017, huh? It's finally here. Thank God 2016 is over. We were hiding Stan Lee in the back, if you guys don't know who that is. Didn't want him to die. I mean, it just seems like, I mean, we were like, is Harrison Ford somewhere so he doesn't get hurt? I mean, it's horrible, horrible things that happen. My favorite Disney princess is passed now. Yes, Princess Leia is a Disney princess. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, 2016, I got to ring it in with the kids last night. So if I fall asleep on the stage while I'm preaching, somebody come pick me up and call my wife, okay? So, but this morning we're going to talk to you guys about football. You guys okay with that? Yeah, right on. So, Jacob Bevin's over there going, yes, more. He and I stayed up late last night going over the sermon, actually telling football stories is what we did. But I love football, period. Actually, exclamation mark. I love football. Football is amazing. It has taught me so much about life. I played football since I was little, since I was about second, third grade. They started letting me put pads on. Actually, they started making me put pads on when I was about the fourth grade because I was hurting kids. My mom actually said at one point, she said she went to sign me up for football, and she was scared. She's like, oh, no. I'm going to sign him up for football. He's going to get hurt. Something bad's going to happen. Moms, have you ever done that? Have you ever had kids? You're like, and maybe it wasn't football. It was something else. But she went to sign me up for football. And she I walk in, right? And at 9, 10 years old, I was a behemoth of a child, okay? Now, I know that's hard to believe. I'm not a very small person. I'm a very big person now. But no, I walked in, and the coaches were like, who's this kid? Who are you playing for? My mom had no clue, right? She had no clue. She was worried the whole time. And then the coaches would not allow us to go to the football. The coaches would not allow the parents to come to the football practices. And so she was, you know, she was all like, I don't know what's going on. What's happening over there? So we go to the first game, all suited up, shoulder pads, helmet. I'm ready to go, right? And then mom sees all of the other kids. And instead of worrying about me getting hurt, she goes, oh, good Lord, please don't let him hurt anybody. Right? So football, from that point on, football has taught me so much. It's taught me everything. It's taught me so much about leadership. It's taught me so much about coaching. It's taught me so much about interpersonal communication. Football is an amazing thing. And many of you sitting there who don't like football or don't understand football are going, Stu, I'm not sure I'm with you on this. But it is. You see, they say it's a game of inches, but if you don't have the long strategy, you can't win. It's a chess match, but for some of us, it's the closest thing we'll ever come to battle. Thank God. Football can teach. It's a real life classroom. And so over the next couple of weeks, this week and next, we're going to try to show that to you. We're going to try to use this as a metaphor for the body of Christ. This week, I'm going to be your offensive coach, and I'm going to teach you a few things. Next week, Ted's going to teach you. He's going to be your defensive coach. And hopefully together, we can give you a game plan of where BCC is headed in 2017. So you guys in? You ready? Okay, so here's how this works. I'm a coach. You're a team. You got to respond back. So you guys ready? Yeah. All right. Here we go. Yes. All right. Here we go. All right. So here's the thing. One of the greatest things that football has ever taught me is this idea. If we all play our roles, or as Coach used to say, if we all do our job, our team will be successful. And that's something I want you to keep in your brain. I want you to keep that focus in front of you today. If we all play our roles, then the whole team succeeds. What that also means is the opposite. If we break down in just one spot and someone does not do their job, it affects the whole team. It makes us weaker. You guys tracking with me now? Yeah? Now, I could talk to you about this. I could sit up here and I could go over game theory and all kinds of stuff. And some of you would be like, yeah. But the Academy Award winner, Denzel Washington, did it so much better than me. And one of my favorite football movies, Remember the Titans. Yeah? Go ahead.
Bunch of tough guys. You look like a bunch of fifth grade sissies after a cat fight. You got anger, that's good. You're gonna need it, son. You got aggression, that's even better. You're gonna need that too. But any little two-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. Some coaches may cut a player if they think he's not up to snuff. When they think he's hurting the team. This is a public school program. I will never, ever cut a player who comes out to play for me. But when you put that uniform on, that Titan uniform, you better come to work. We will be perfect in every aspect of the game. You drop a pass, you run a mile. You miss a blocking assignment, you run a mile. You fumble the football, and I will break my foot off in your John Brown hind parts. And then you will run a mile. Perfection. Let's go to work.
Going to change everything. Later on in the movie, a character named Julia says, you've expected nothing but perfection from us. He says, and don't get me wrong, he says, I'm not perfect, and I don't think anyone else is perfect. But our team has never lost a game. So as a team, we're perfect. Now, what Julius is trying to say, and Coach Boone with his perfection speech, it's not that we can be perfect. Because you can't be perfect. I'm not perfect. I actually pray on a daily basis that as a church, we are not perfect. So that we can learn. And that we can grow from our mistakes. But as a team, we can be complete. You see, in the Bible, that's what that word means. The word perfect means complete, whole. And we can be that as a church. It's a choice we make. We can live in chaos, or we can choose to be intentional. We can do our part, play our role, and watch amazing things happen among us. We can be perfect. So your next obvious question should be, Stu, how do we get from where we are to this whole, complete team that we're supposed to be? I'm glad you asked. Because the Apostle Paul actually gives us a bit of a roadmap in Romans chapter 12 about this. It's going to be on the screen for you, but I also want you to look it up if you have a device or your Bible with you. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 1. Many of you may have even memorized this. I know as a kid, I did. This is one of the first verses I ever memorized, at least the first part of this passage. Romans chapter 12, we're starting verse 1. I'm going to read all the way through verse 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So Paul starts with this idea. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The first piece of our game plan has got to be that. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can test and approve what God's will is, right? That's what he says. Well, so here's the thing. What does that mean? Well, there are two paths. There are two paths. We can pick one or we can pick the other. As a body, we can pick one or we can pick the other. I think that's what Paul's trying to tell us. Pick one. Now, the first path we can pick is the path of the world, the path of society. We call it the zeitgeist, right? The way people think, the thing to do. We can do that. We can pick that path. Now, let me show you what this looks like. The path of the world is simple. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to take care of me. And if there's a little bit left over, I'll do what I can. You guys familiar with this one? Do you know where this one leads? It leads to chaos. Because if we're a body and we're all trying to get our own and do what we want to do and just get it, then the only people that matter is you as an individual, not us as a team. Yeah? You tracking now? You with me on this one? Okay, or you could pick this other path. See, Paul lays it, you can pick this other path. You can, don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but let your mind be renewed. Think differently. Be intentional. Stop and go, you know what? There's something more important here. God is at work fixing what is broken in the world. So I need to find out where that is. I need to go out to that place, and I need to work with him. And if I do that, then the world will be fixed. It will be put back together again. I won't do it alone, because I need all of you to help. And it's not our work anyway. It's his. He's already doing it. He just asked us to be part of it. That causes you, if you're going to be intentional like that, if you're going to go looking for those moments and those times and those places, you have to be intentional. And you can't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You can't sit there and go, I'm going to get my own. You have to start saying, God, where are you at work? How can I humble myself and go join you there? How can I do that? So in other words, get off your John Brown hind parts. Go find out what God's doing and join him. Yeah? Right? See, that's the whole point of this. That's where Paul starts. If that's where he starts, like I said, football can teach us, right? Didn't know all that was in this one little clip about this football team, did you? You see, the Titans is a real team. That wasn't a fictitious team that was created by Disney. Now, they took liberties with the true story, but that's an actual team from Virginia, 1971, right? They made a choice. They chose to do something different. The world around them in 1971 would say, be separate. Black folks sit over here, white folks sit over here. We don't cross. You have your school, we have our school, and that's it. They looked at the chaos of racism and said, no, we're going to think differently. You heard him, didn't you? You heard it in the clip, didn't you? We're going to think differently. We're going to talk differently. We're going to act differently. We're going to be different. So it's the choice. It's a choice. They chose not to let the chaos of racism stop them. One of the taglines to the movie, I found this and I was like, this is cool. It says, in a world filled with chaos, they had to become one so they could win. Yeah. Yeah. Football can teach us. It teaches a lot. It can show us how to live out what Paul is trying to tell us. Now, we can choose chaos. But we can choose to be a team. A unit. That joins God to fix what is broken. It's your choice. It's not mine. I've chosen. As for me and my house, this is what we're doing. I'm asking you, will you come with? Will you be part of that? That's what BCC needs. So we have to stop thinking that someone else will make BCC a healthy place again. We have to choose in 2017 to be healthy. We can't wait. We have to do it. Do you get this? Because we can't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we do that, we become a team. Or as Paul says, a body. And there are ramifications of being a body that he goes into. There are ramifications. Look at verses 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We all have a part to play. We all have a role that has been given to us. And there are no second-class roles. Some of us are on stage. Some of us are in the pews. Some of us are making coffee. Some of us are taking out the trash. We all have a position. We all have a role. And it's important. If we don't do our role, if we don't take on the function that we've been asked by God, then what will happen is we will crumble into chaos. Yeah? Trust me. I know what I'm talking about. And if you don't trust me, then just look at the Cleveland Browns this year. They finally won a game last week. Did anybody know that? Woo! Right? Right? Here's the deal. We want the glory. We want to see the glory positions played out. Do you know that? If I ask you guys, this is how it works. If I ask you guys to name famous football players off the top of your head, start naming them. Look at your neighbor right now. Try that. Start naming them. Tell your neighbor, famous football players. Just name them. I don't care. It can be from 9,000 years ago. It can be from today. One, two famous football. Even those of you who don't play, I'm not into football. Seriously, do it. All right. Here you go. Somebody back there said Gale Sayers. Man, it's awesome. Bronco Nirginski. Right? How about this? So what I did was, I wanted you to see this, because there are players that play. There are players that play that we get to see all the time, right? Like, one of the first players that I would mention is Walter Payton. Yeah? One of the other players I might mention is Tom Brady, right? Joe Montana. Their positions, we call them skill positions. Not sure why, because it takes skill to play the whole game. But we call those the skill positions. Those are the positions that get glory. Because the quarterbacks, the running backs, and the wide receivers, they get the glory. You know why? They score. They're the ones that get to score the touchdowns. And so the cameras are all on them. Everybody wants to know the quarterback stat, you know, what's the quarterback rating for this guy this week, this month, right? Oh, how many receptions did he have? How many yards did he run? But you know the people that they don't talk about? The offensive linemen. The offensive linemen. They don't talk about them. And trust me, if the offensive lineman does not do his job, then those quarterbacks are on their backs. Just ask Cleveland. And the five quarterbacks that they put out this year, every one of them has been hurt. One of them twice. Because the offensive line is horrible. Or then you could talk about the Dallas Cowboys, who has a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back. And they got a good chance of winning the Super Bowl because their offensive linemen are good. It's that role. It's not about the glory role. You see, there are no secondary roles in the kingdom of God. Everybody has a function. Some people are going to be asked to be elders. Some people are going to be asked to take out the trash. Some people are going to be asked to work in the nursery. Some people are going to be asked to teach in the student ministry. Some of us are going to have different roles. We're all going to take different tasks. There is no second class to it. And if what that means is when we do our role, when we function as a body and we do our part, our team succeeds. Because that's the point. Do your role. Play your part. Right? This is what I tell. I coached for 5-6 years over in Indiana. And I got to coach defensive linemen. Here's what I told the defensive linemen. I said, your goal is not to make a tackle. Their eyes would get really big. But coach, that's what coach. I'm like, don't coach me. Here's the deal. You do not get to make tackles. Your job is to get two people to block you, two people to cover you. Because if I can get two people to cover you, that leaves one guy unblocked. Guess who gets to make the tackle? That guy. And you're too slow to be that guy, so be a defensive lineman. That was the goal. The goal was to get double teamed. And then I told them, if the running back gets near you, the guy with the ball, tackle him. That's bonus. That's a bonus. Your goal is to get double teamed. And then I would look at them straight in the eye and I would get real serious and I would say, do your job. Play your position, not someone else's. Yeah? You guys tracking with me? Everybody does their job. If we all do what we're asked to do, though we are many, we will form one body or team, and we will succeed as a church. That's the plan. Yeah, it is a church. That's what it is. Do your job. The lesson here is, if you play your role, do your job, then the team will succeed. That means something very important. Because Paul doesn't stop by saying, just play your part. He says, I want to get specific. If you're to be a prophet, prophesy. If you're to be generous, give generously. If you're to teach, teach, right? He goes into that at the end of this passage. You read it. Whatever your role is, do it. And some of you in this room are like, I'm kind of starting to get what my role is here at BCC. Some of you are still trying to figure it out. Many of you have been doing it for years. And you don't grumble. This is what I do. This is who I am. This is what I do. If we all do that, if we all do and play our part, then we will succeed. Right? But you know what the temptation is for us? The temptation for us is to play somebody else's part. It's to play somebody else's position. I used to be able to throw the football pretty far, right? And I could see the field like a quarterback. The coach would look, I would like, coach, man, let me play quarterback. He took one look at me and was like, no. I'm like, but coach, hey, you're good. You got a good arm. You see the field well. That's what we want. But if you play quarterback, who's going to protect you? Like, oh, yeah. Who's going to protect that? Hey, good point, Coach. Thanks. I got you. I'll be the center. How about that? That was my job. I wanted to play somebody else's role, though. You see, one night when I was a junior in high school, we were playing a particularly hard team. And the guy playing next to me, his name was Kevin. Kevin was getting his rear end kicked. I mean, he could not beat the guy in front of him. The guy in front of him just had his number, right? He knew exactly how to block him, how to keep him from doing what he needed to do. Well, I was playing next to Kevin, and I'm like, dude, you got to do your job, right? That's what we say. You got to do your job. Play your role. And he's like, I'm trying. You don't understand. Halftime, he and I start getting into a shouting match. While the coach is sitting there trying to give us the game plan for the next half, he and I start yelling at each other and almost get into a fist fight in the middle of the locker room. And the coach looks at me and says, Scheckler, sit down. Quit trying to play his position for him. And then he looked at Kevin and said, Kevin, get your job done. And that's when it hit me. Oh, my job is not to play his position. It's to play mine. If he plays his and I play mine, we do it well, then we succeed. But we ended up losing the game because for a whole half, I was trying to do his job and mine. You get it? We can't do each other's job. Many times what happens is we see a void in leadership. We see something that needs to be done in the church, and we sit back and we do one of two things. We go, somebody needs to do something about that. Or we jump in and we start trying to do something that we were never gifted to do. Either way, who are we thinking about? Not the church, but ourselves. And it creates chaos. You're tracking with me now. We do our position. We play our part. Do your job. Do your job. Do what you've been asked to do. Be who you've been asked to be. So there are ramifications of this. What that means is we should all step into our roles that we're being asked to do right now. Let me say that again so that I'm very clear. All of us need to step into our role that we're being asked to do right now. This moment, 11:48, January 1st, 2017. This is not metaphorical. This is literal. Right now, all of you engineers in the room should be going, thank you, Stu. That's what I mean. Step into your role right now. Many of us are waiting for a senior pastor. Yeah? I've actually heard it. Stop it. Don't wait for a senior pastor to get going. Paul does not say, wait for the senior pastor to show up, then play your role. He says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Quit waiting on someone else. Step in, do your part. Whatever that part is. You might not be the person up here teaching. That's fine. You might not be asked to be an elder. That's fine. But do what you can do. Do what God has asked you to do. Be who He's asked you to be. Step in. Now, if we're going to stop waiting for a senior pastor, there are ramifications of that too. Yeah? What that means is we're not waiting for a superstar to come fix what is broken. Jesus is already doing that. So guess who our senior pastor is? Yeah. He's already fixing what is broken. We just have to trust Him and follow Him and listen to Him. Yeah, we are going to hire another staff member eventually. We're not going to be quick about it. We're going to take our time. But we are going to hire another staff member. We're not looking for a superstar. We're looking for a good draft pick. Right? Not to pick on the Browns again. Sorry, Bob. But they tried that, didn't they? His name was Johnny Manziel. Anybody ever heard of Johnny Manziel? Horrible draft pick. He was the number one superstar from college football that year. Yay, we're going to get Johnny Manziel. Everybody in Cleveland was like, guess what's going to happen? It's going to fix our football team. Crap. It didn't. It didn't fix anything. It made it worse. It made it worse. But then there's the New England Patriots. You ever heard of them? Yeah? Yeah? You ever heard of a guy named Tom Brady? I got to see Tom Brady as a college prospect. He was a senior in college. We went to Michigan for a coaching clinic. I got to watch him. His fundamentals were amazing. Like the fundamental, like all you football geeks, his footwork was just like butter. It's like, oh, this guy's good. And I thought the Michigan's going to be great this year. No, they weren't. They weren't very good that year when he led them as their quarterback. He was drafted in about the seventh round. The seventh round in the NFL draft. One is the best, okay? Seven's not so much. Seventh round. He was supposed to be the backup quarterback for a guy named Drew Bledsoe. Anybody remember Drew Bledsoe? Yeah, some of you do. Maybe most of I had to look it up to make sure I was right. Drew Bledsoe. He went down, and the rest is history. Tom Brady is considered one of the greatest quarterbacks in history. Will we get a Tom Brady? God willing. We're not going to go looking for a superstar. We're looking for a team member to come in here and compliment what we're doing. That's what we're looking for. That's where we're going. Because it is not about one person, unless that one person is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
We want what is best for our church. And what is best for our church is for us to become a team and do our part, take our role, and live into it. I'm tired. I'm just being honest with you guys. I'm tired. I'm not tired of being a pastor. I'm not tired of BCC. I'm just tired. Mentally and physically tired. I need a good team member. You know? I need a good team member to come in and join us. But I want the right person to come in here and lead us because we have already taken on the mission and we're going after it. Yeah? You with me? Yeah? I'm your coach today. You guys ready? Let's go to work. Yeah. Yeah. That's what this is about. We're going to go to work. We're going to go to work. We aren't looking for the next great leader. We're looking to build each other up. And by doing that, we'll make our team great. I know this because of weak link thinking. Let me say that again. Weak link thinking. Weak link thinking. It is the psychological premise in game theory that there is weak link thinking and strong link thinking. Okay? So you understand. Basketball is a strong link game. Okay? If you get one great superstar or two great superstars, like a Michael Jordan or a LeBron James, and you get them on your team is going to succeed. Literally, the other players only have to be 45% as good as your superstar. That's strong link thinking. Okay? And you will succeed. Just look at LeBron James. He won the NBA championship last year. Okay? It was on his back. Right? But there are other games that are weak link thinking. Like soccer is a weak link thinking game. If Messi, who is the soccer players, if he goes out, he can't be Michael Jordan. He can't take the ball from one end of the pitch to the other very well. He needs his team members to pass the ball off to. Yeah? Guess what else is a weak link thinking game? Football. It is. It's a weak link thinking game. If we build up the weakest link, our team will be great. And you've seen this play out. If you've ever watched the Super Bowl, just a couple years ago, Super Bowl 42, there was this guy. His name was David Tyree. He was the fourth string receiver for the New York Giants. Fourth string. The only reason he was on the field is because two of the other receivers were hurt. Yeah? But he is responsible possibly for the greatest catch in NFL history. I'll let you watch it.
Well, here are the New England Patriots, one win away from the second perfect season in NFL history, taking on a Giants team that started 0-2 this season, winners of 10 straight on the road, and they come rolling into this game with a lot of confidence. Tynes will try from 32. Good snap. Good hold and a good kick. Maroney right side. Touchdown, New England.
Tom Brady was able to shield him just enough. That's a tough running
by Lawrence Maroney. Second and three. Play action. Over the middle. Touchdown, Giants. David Tyree.
Watch where Eli Manning's able to put this throw. Anything less than a perfect throw there could very easily have been intercepted.
It's third down and goal. Touchdown!
Corey Webster was in trouble as soon as he started backpedaling off the line of scrimmage. They doubled Wes Welker on the inside, and they left Corey Webster one-on-one on Randy Moss. And it just wasn't a match.
Third down and five. Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet. Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
Oh, my God. This ball is thrown, and Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball player. Harrison trying to knock it down. And Eli, man, I don't know how he got out of there. I thought he was on the ground, and then he came out of the pile and just slings it.
That's a great catch by David Tyree. And now with 59 seconds left, the Giants needing a touchdown. 39 seconds.
That's called the catch. Good. That's called the catch. The catch. He caught it on his helmet. Because David Tyree did that, the fourth string receiver, because he did that, they went on to win the Super Bowl and beat the undefeated New England Patriots. Because he was doing his job. He wasn't trying to get glory. He was just trying to catch the stinking football. That's all his job was. And because he did that, he changed everything for his team. Weak link thinking. We're not looking for a superstar. We're looking for a body who's willing to take on the role that they've been called to do. And join Jesus as he fixes what is broken. See, I told you football could teach you a lot. Didn't I? So it's time for us to get to work. We're going to get to work, yeah? So as we go into communion, this is what I want you to do. I want you to stop for a minute. And I want you to ask God, make it clear what my role is. What position do you have me playing? Am I the quarterback? Am I the running back? Am I an offensive lineman? Tight end? Apostle? Prophet? Teacher? Someone who encourages? Someone who loves? Someone who helps? What's my role? God, show it to us. Jesus, that's our prayer. As we go into communion, that as a church, we begin to live into the positions and the roles that you've asked us to do. That we do our job. And together we become a great team. Not a bunch of chickens running around with their heads cut off, trying to do what is right. But we together join you as you fix what is broken. Help us, Lord. Show us who we are. It's in your name we pray. Amen.